cliffcentral.com.
What a delightful song. Did you enjoy that, Sia?
This is very circa 2001 Jamiroquai.
Yeah, it was
Madonna collaborating with Ali G vibes for
yeah,
me.
It was. That was kind of the era. So Mojo had a big hit with the song called Lady.
Lady.
And then they were essentially one hit wonders. So they put together a couple of things after that. And I think that was as good as it got, that song I just played you right now.
Kiss the feeling. It's just so right.
That was a tune, huh? That was a big track. Okay, we'll play that in the next hour.
Yes.
That was fire.
Oh, we're having a Mojo Thursday.
Yeah, why not?
I've lost my mojo.
Why not, exactly? Message here for you, Mubs. It says, hey, Mubs, Cock Josh here.
Oh.
And he left that with a smiley face.
Okay.
That's all? Not a... What's it called? An eggplant?
I don't know if that means that Cock Josh is available again, because the only time that Cock Josh messages us is when he's single.
Yeah.
When he's up in with the ladies, he has zero time for us.
When he's behaving.
Yeah, Cock Josh, you're a bit of an enigma, aren't you? Mm. I mean, where have you been? Is there a woman in your life? Are you as crass as ever? You can't just say, hey, Mubs, Cock Josh here. See, too many questions.
Yeah.
I mean, what next? You're going to tell us that you're all for going to Mars? Right. So, Justice Malala is next up with us. He'll be... Lucas, are we good to go on that? Okay. See, this is... Again, this is where I need the microphone. Now, Lucas is doing something else. I think at this stage, this is where Gareth starts throwing his toys.
Pretty much. Do you want
to... Are we good to go? Okay,
there we go.
Palesa's now in the mix. All right. Good for Palesa. That's still no joke.
It's a team effort here, folks.
Okay, so yeah, there's lots of us to talk about with Justice. And while Gareth is away, it doesn't mean we're going to take a more dim stance on what's happening, because Justice is here. And he is here to bring us the...
Burning platform fired up by Nando's on cliffcentral.com.
DDO, Justice Malala, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you doing?
Very good, thank you. Very good. You're sounding very fresh and rested.
Am I? Yes. Jeez, this cup is good. No, I'm down with the flu, but I think I'm good. I'm good. Okay. I feel good.
All right.
I feel good despite all that.
All right.
So what can you say?
Morning. Yes, just hi. So Gareth's going to be away this week, next week. So, you know, I don't know what your schedule provides, but it's always great to see you. And I think if Mabali goes 2 weeks without seeing you, she gets a bit edgy. There was a time, and then we couldn't work out why, and it was because you weren't here in the flesh.
You know, Justice, it's just nice every now and again to have somebody of sound mind. Because
yes,
Lord knows the people I work with, they all have issues. But then again, so do I. So do I. So,
thank you. I've just dictated a very strong email to the head of the station that you should get an increase. You know.
Yeah, well, you see, there you go. This is why this is why I hold you in such high regard.
And me, Justice. What about me?
Well, you have said nice things about me. You know, I mean, Justice, one person of sound mind. I love it. Mabali, take the day off.
This is awkward now.
Okay. Well, Justice, let's get straight into it, because, you know, speaking about taking the day off, there are a number of people who would like to see Batabile Dlamini take more than just a day off. Actually, they would prefer that she was gone. Of course, the story around Sasa and the big mess that it's unfolded to be has been keeping us occupied over the last few days. So let's get straight into it and get your thoughts on the whole Sasa debacle. And then as well as include, you know, some of the things that the minister has been saying, some of the things that the president has been saying about the way this matter has unfolded.
I mean, for me, thanks, Mabali, thanks, Ben. One of the things for me that stands out about this story is the repeated stance by the minister that, do not worry, grants will be paid on April 1. The president says, don't worry, they will be paid. Everyone says they will be paid. No one said they won't be paid, actually. We all know that they will be paid because the money is there. It's your tax money. It's my tax money that's going to pay them. The big issue is this. In 2014, the Constitutional Court said, this deal that you have with CPS, Cash Pay Master Services, is invalid. And therefore, you need to start a new process and make sure that when this contract comes to an end, you've got a new supplier. So if we give CPS, who in the first place were declared invalid, that their BEE was a fake BEE, that all these things happened, then we are breaking the law. That's the first thing. We are breaking the law. What the Constitutional Court said was invalid remains invalid. You can't say, oh, now that I'm in trouble, I'm continuing with an invalid contract. You can't. On Monday, Vusi Pikoli, who's the former NPA head, made it very clear. He said, continuing an invalid contract is an invalid act in itself. You can't make it up. You can't say, no, I'm in trouble. I just have to keep going. So that's the first thing. This is an illegal act to continue with CPS. You can't do that. But let's say, yes, you continue, and CPS continues to do the job. There's a second thing. Ben, you might not know this, but Mabale owns a big company that can...
I knew it.
That can... You didn't know. But that can distribute these social grants. Now, if you give the contract to CPS to continue, what about Mabale's company? Have they had a chance to tender? Can they tender? What is that? The Public Finance Management Act says very clearly, every job that comes up, because this is government money, you can't just say, oh, you know, I'm going to give it to so-and-so. You've got to have a competitive, open tender process where Mabale wins or Justice wins or CPS wins. That needs to happen. But if it doesn't happen, then we have a problem here. And so that's the second thing. The law, whatever happens on April 1 and the grants are paid, the law will have been broken twice. First, because the Constitutional Court has been ignored. Second, because the PFMA, the Public Finance Management Act, has not been complied with. And that's a big, big problem. And so all the stuff about they will be paid, yes, they will be paid. Yes, we know they'll be paid. But you know what? The law cannot be broken because people have failed to do their jobs. And so that is why, Mabale, when you start off by saying, take the day off. No, maybe the minister should take the month off and maybe the year off and maybe the rest of her tenure off. That's exactly where it goes. It's the law must be upheld.
Sorry, go ahead. Justice, I mean, you talk about the fact that the law has been broken here. So are we venturing into yet another situation where, you know, one of the opposition parties or an organization will then make the decision to, you know, take these people to court or take them to task? Is that where we're headed with the minister?
We definitely headed there. Remember the Black Sesh, and I think with the support of a few other organizations, have already taken this matter to the Constitutional Court. Chief Justice Mokgweng Mokgweng yesterday called on SASSA, the SA Social Security Agency, and the minister and the department to appear before the court on March 15th. When that happens, I don't think the court is going to be like a poodle, as some aspects of parliament have been. They are going to ask some tough questions about why, who made the decision? Remember that the minister went off after 2014. She asked some very high-powered lawyers to give her advice. So they gave her advice once, they gave her advice twice. Then she went to President Zuma's lawyer, Michael Hali, to ask for advice. Now, to go from advocates on the Joburg bar and other bars and look at the advice and then say, you know what, I'm going to go to someone else, and that's the president lawyer. That's very curious indeed. So the Chief Justice wants to know, who gave you this advice that you mustn't come to the Constitutional Court? Because you'll remember last week, the DG of the department went to SASA and said, you guys must go to the Constitutional Court and say we are applying to have the judgment of 2014 waived so that we can make this thing happen without having to comply with the law. It was put in as an application. Then allegedly the minister said, no, don't do that. I've been advised by someone else that we don't need to go to the court. So it was withdrawn as an application. It just became a letter without any weight to it, just saying, oh, Constitutional Court, we're just telling you that we are going ahead with another contract. But don't worry, you sit there and act like a poodle. Well, the Constitutional Court is not going to do that, clearly. And Chief Justice Mokgoeng says, come to me and explain. So that's going to be very, very interesting. And what comes out of that and how the court then interprets what happened will be very interesting indeed. So, you know, my view is that this thing is just starting. It's not over yet. And at the end of the day, it will be the Jacob Zuma administration once again with egg on its face after yet another embarrassing appearance in the Constitutional Court. Remember that 2 weeks ago, the High Court in Pretoria said this administration's decision to not arrest al-Bashir when he came to South Africa and to rush off to Parliament and try to, not to rush to Parliament, but to, on its own, try to get out of the ICC was invalid and unlawful and was trying to subvert the Constitution. That was egg on the face of this administration. Now you have this issue where, again, the cabinet fails to comply with the laws of the country. I think another embarrassment. And it tells us something, really, about a cabinet that keeps on being beaten into line, really, by the courts. And it tells you something about this administration. And it's that either people haven't read the Constitution, either they don't take advice from their many, many lawyers, and we spent hundreds of billions of rand on lawyers, and they just, you know, just use it. And that at some point, we have to start saying, Minister, you didn't follow the law, and we spent so much on lawyers. Maybe from now on, we should say you should be held liable personally, instead of us bailing you out and paying for all these expensive lawyers when you don't follow their advice.
Justice, not too long ago, we, you know, heard from our finance minister, Pravin Gordhan, who, you know, delivered his budget speech. And, you know, part of that was him outlining the kind of plans that will be required in order to pull our country out of the economic crisis it finds itself in. If you are a doctor, Justice, and our economy was a patient, walks into your doctor's rooms and you had to give it a diagnosis, where are we with our economy in this country?
You know, you have to laugh, but Dr. Padile Hotla, he's the statistician general of South Africa. And Padile Hotla, you'll remember him, he decided to start wearing those yellow suits, which I thought was a brilliant marketing ploy, but man, they didn't look good. The man in the yellow suit, you know, we need to, I wish we did more with statistics in South Africa. We like to argue a lot about stuff and we argue about the emotional side of it and so forth, but we don't do enough looking at the statistics and what they tell us and what they say. Because Padile Hotla brings out these statistics. So the unemployment numbers, he did a fantastic thing on in February, where he spoke about how are we doing with demographics and are there enough men for the women that we have? Or are there enough women in the world? And he looked at Sunnyside and said, in Sunnyside in 2000, there were way more men than there were women, and so way more women than there were men, and so forth. And at the moment in Hillbrow, there are more way men than there are women, and therefore women in Hillbrow can pick and choose who they want, and you know, the runt of the litter sometimes doesn't make it, and so forth and so forth. Mm. Just beautiful stuff like that, you know. So this week, Statistics SA gave us the GDP growth numbers for the last quarter of 2016, and when you do the calculation for the year, basically, we only grew by 0.3% for 2016. The Treasury had said we would grow by 0.5%, and the SA Reserve Bank had said 0.4%. Now, these are the final numbers. This is what the economy grew by in 2016, 0.3%. Guys, at 0.3%, we are basically, the cake is not growing. It's the same. We've got 9 million unemployed people in South Africa. If the economy is at 0.3%, it means we are not creating new jobs for those people to go into. It means that the extra 500,000 young people who enter the job market are fighting for the same job that you and Ben and I and Sia are all fighting over. The cake is not growing. And for me, this is fundamental. If we don't create jobs for people, then we are in big, big trouble. So, you know, when that patient walks into the room and you can just see that this is a sickly, sickly person, this economy is in big, big trouble. And I'm sure you've had these conversations with Auntie as well. But there seems to me that there isn't a sense of agency in South Africa about the real problems. If you ask people, how many times do you hear the expression white monopoly capital or radical economic transformation? How many times do you hear people say jobs, 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 and growth, growth, growth? We seem to be talking about all the wrong things, because here, what these numbers that came out of Stats SA tell us is that we're not doing anything about growth. We're not doing anything about jobs, and that is a very, very, very bad thing. But there's some good news. There's some good news out of all this. A lot of economists surveyed and interviewed by Business Day, for example, yesterday, said that the underlying trend is that things are going to get better. That 2017 will be slightly better than 2016. I hope they're right, and I hope that there's some basis to the expectations. A lot of them say that maybe we will get to 1.4% growth. Maybe the most optimistic I've seen saying 2% growth. I hope we get there. I sincerely hope that our lawmakers, our policymakers actually get us there and we do 2%, hopefully 3% and 4%. And maybe by 2019, we'll be doing 5%. Ooh, that would be happy days. So we must hope.
Just talking about statisticians and economists and that kind of stuff, has anyone given forecasts of what we really should be getting?
Well, I mean, that for me, thank you, Ben. That for me is the big elephant in the room. It's let's just step back. Let's take the Minister of Social Development and all the incompetence that she has displayed this past 6 months. Let's take all the political noise that many, many people say are the leading cause of the reason why people are not putting money into this economy. What it should be It's, of course, speculation. But if we didn't have all this incompetence, all this doubt about us, where would we be? According to the National Development Plan, we should be growing at 5.4% this year. That means that we should be creating the humongous amounts of jobs. I don't have the number of how much they were saying they were projecting and so forth. So we can actually begin to speculate about, okay, we did 0.3%. Our expectations as per the NDP, which was a very scientific document, would have been 5% for last year, maybe 5.4% for this year. We would be doing way better if it wasn't for our own incompetence, our own shooting ourselves in the foot. And you have to take the blame and put it exactly where it should be. And that is in Mahlamba Ndlovu and the union buildings where the president lives, because he's the captain of the ship.
Yeah, that's what's so frustrating as mere taxpayers, is that if this was a company, people would be fired. It would be simple as that. It would be, okay, right, you no longer work here.
But it is a company, and the shareholders meeting is in May 2019. And it's whether South Africans show up at the shareholders meeting where they can make that big decision or they don't. The politicians sometimes coast along on the belief that, the shareholders meeting, which is the election, is far off. And you know what? These guys will forgive me. By 2019, they'll vote me into power again and again and again. Well, let's see if that happens. We know what happened in the city of Tshwane on August 3 last year. We know what happened in the city of Joburg, Nelson Mandela Bay. As President Zuma had said, the ANC will be out of power when Jesus comes along. Well, I didn't see Jesus, but I know that power changed hands in those cities. And so we must look forward to that shareholders meeting in 2019.
Justice, I think we have time for one more point to get through. So let's turn our attention to our peristatals, shall we? Because we've become so used to our peristatals being in the news for all the wrong reasons. Who can forget the circus that played out at the SABC? And then we've just discovered recently that, the SAA Pilots Association and OUTA want to take the chairperson of SAA to court. But let's talk about what happened at PRASA recently, because it almost seems as if, the board members at PRASA were caught completely unaware yesterday when a very big decision was taken to have every single one of them removed.
I know. That was quite a thing. The PRASA board is an interesting one. There has been major fraud and corruption at PRASA for a long time. We all followed the Lucky Montana story when lots of allegations were made. The most obvious, the most plain, was when the chief engineer told us that the trains would run at PRASA and that they would be okay and all that. And it turns out that they were the wrong height. Mm. And this guy claimed to have a PhD in engineering, funny enough. So you can imagine what ordinary diplomas and degreed personnel were doing if the PhD guy. Anyway, it turns out he didn't have the PhD and all that. He was fired. So this board has uncovered billions of rand of corruption at PRASA. This board acted deliciously, I have to tell you. I mean, I love what they did last Monday. We read in the Sunday Times that the acting CEO, Colin Letswalo, had given himself an increase from 1.3 million to 5.9 million rand, 350% increase. And he'd bulldozed that decision through the executive and so forth. On the Monday after we read that, they asked him to please kindly walk away. And I thought, wow, you guys are on top of things. You know what you're doing. But this week we find that the minister has fired this board. And she was in a hurry to do it. despite the fact that their tenure actually comes to an end in June this year. So what's the rush, Minister? What's the rush? But I think what happened there is that you have a board that acted against corruption, and they are being punished for it. I'm very gloomy about our state-owned enterprises. You look at Eskom, it's got an acting CEO. You look at SASA, you've got acting CEO. SABC, acting CEO. Name them, acting. The boards, many of them non-existent. SABC, non-existent. The board at Eskom has been in so many controversies, it's crazy. So the state-owned enterprises are in trouble. Where a state-owned enterprise or its board tries to do the right thing, like at PASA, it gets fired. And I think that there's a lot of shenanigans, or as they say in the Free State, mahem-hem, in that going on around that board. And so there's a big problem going on there. But we are in trouble if our state-owned enterprises are run in this way. You know, if we go back to 2012 and to 2007, the ANC said it wants to run a capable state. And that meant that it would deploy the right people to the right jobs. Now, what we've seen are people being deployed to jobs who have absolutely no idea what they're doing. The SABC shows you people who have absolutely no clue what they're doing, and they're running the SABC. You look even at political appointments. Museveni Zizwane, for example. I mean, it's a joke what's happening in the Mineral Resources Department, where Museveni Zizwane has gone to his hometown in the Free State and appointed his mate from there as the chief of finance. Last week, he appointed a new DG. Where did he go? He went straight back to where he comes from in the Free State and appointed someone there. They used to have a word for this in Nigeria in the 1950s when liberation came. It was the homeboy syndrome. And it was, oh, Ben, you are running the show while Gareth is away. So instead of working with Mabale, you just say, I'm from Hammanskraal. I'm going to get my friend from Hammanskraal to come in and work with me. And it's like, what's going on here? So the homeboy syndrome is all over SOEs, is all over government and so forth. It's, what do you do? I'm going to get my the guy from my village. And the guy from my village will be the guy I appoint. And it's a terrible thing. So to your point, Mabale, the SOEs are in big, big trouble. And I think that Popo Molefe and the PRASA board were responsible for the cleaning up or trying to clean up PRASA after the mess that Lucky Montana left it in. And they are being punished for it. It's worth noting that the Hawks were given the documentation, were given charges were laid with them, and they haven't acted on the PRASA corruption. And so why should Popo Molefe be blamed for not acting on the corruption there when Benning Dlamini at the Hawks has not lifted a finger to investigate any of it after everything that he's been given? That is where the problem really lies.
Justice, before we let you go, we just have one question here. It's got to do with the courts. Ashley messaged in saying he's very nervous about the ANC's documents about their plans for the courts. He thinks they're going to be truly screwed if they do infiltrate the courts. Is there anything more you can add on this?
Yeah, the ANC is releasing its discussion documents for its national policy conference, which will be held at the end of June. One of the suggestions in these documents is that the ANC wants to see what it says in the document are more progressive judges on the bench. It wants to see the selection of judges being more looked at. So just not the Judicial Services Commission, but who sits on the Judicial Services Commission. Now, you'll remember that the judges have been amazing in many ways, in taking on the executive, in saying this is right, this is not right, this is wrong, you can't do this, and so forth and so forth. So a lot of people have felt that, no, the judges, and you'll remember Gwede Mantashe saying, yeah, the judiciary is oppositional because it's taken some very strong views on a few issues. The ICC, the Al-Bashir matter, and Ganja, and so forth and so forth. If the ANC begins this campaign and it succeeds in it, yes, we do have a big, big problem because essentially it's saying we're going to take the judiciary and make it or turn it into a lapdog of the ruling party. So the debate is only now starting, but it's been kind of blowing around underground in the judiciary and others. And I think it will come out even more in the next few months in the run-up to the ANC policy conference. And I think it's something we need to keep an eye on. Basically, that document says the ANC wants to control the judiciary. And that is a dangerous thing. It's a hugely dangerous thing. We need to watch out for it. We need to have more debates about it. But quite frankly, I'm not sure how the ANC intends to do that. It would only mean that the ANC would have to remove people like Julius Malema, for example, from the Judicial Services Commission and change the way we select our judges. The one thing that is interesting for me is that over the past week, President Jacob Zuma has removed his three representatives on the Judicial Services Commission, and they are one of them is Dumisan Tsebeza. I can't remember the other two. And I wonder if he's going to put in party hacks into the JSC who will do his bidding and therefore vote to appoint judges who are seen as being pro-ANC. I think it would be cynical, but it will be it's an interesting process to watch. And I think the question is absolutely right. We need to keep an eye on this.
Yeah, I just get nervous when you hear the words "more progressive judges" because, I mean, like you and I have an understanding about progressive, but ANC's understanding of the word progressive makes me nervous.
I think it's very, very important. A progressive judge is to be welcomed. Let's take issues of abortion and so forth. Progressive means that you would look at, you know, Roe versus Wade in the U.S. and so forth,
yeah.
And look at the abortion law in a very progressive manner. Progressive in the way it's being used now could be that it's no. Look at my side of the factions in the ANC and rule for my side. So it's a legitimate and very serious issue that is being raised here.
And also, I don't think the ANC should be in charge of more. Maybe less. They don't seem to be doing so well with what they are in charge of right now. Maybe just,
I'm not sure.
Just consolidate what you got.
I think the big issue is that there are some things that should be above party politics.
Yeah.
And the ANC knows that more than many, many other people, and it should be it's ANC members who should be worried when, for example, people in the executive want to have more, not less, control of the judiciary. So it's really something to look out for.
Cool. Well, Justice, thanks so much for joining us as per usual. If you didn't catch all of this, you can get the podcast on cliffcentral.com, and we'll catch you next week.
Super. Thanks, guys. Right. Cheers. Have a good week.
Burning Platform, fired up by Nando's on cliffcentral.com.
Indeedio. Right, guys, sure. Always educational here. I feel I can compete in arguments in life because of the Burning Platform.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know how I took some advice from you the other day about, like, just some car terminology?
Yeah.
That's what I do with Justice. just take a few terms and use them in conversations.
But that's the thing. I mean, like Justice has such a great understanding, such a great control of what his subject matter is that he can dispense the information and you can digest it so easily. I mean, I've heard people talk about politics and I've never stopped listening so quick in my life. they get into a rhythm where they're talking about things and you're like,
Yep.
But he's also so level-headed because, you know, most of us, when we talk about politics, we really talk from a very emotional standpoint. Mm. But he just keeps things level-headed.
Yeah. Right, guys, we need to get into some more news stories, though. So, Mumps, what else is happening as far as the big stories, the big conversation points for right now?
Take a song or something.
You want to take a song?
Yeah.
Mabeli, if you want to take a song, then we'll take a song.
There we go.
Not just any song, though.
Uh-oh. Your Mojo song?
Yay!
Ah, a little teaser. Will it be that this year?
Sorry.
So now,
got a bit too excited there.
We're getting back to this whole turn of the century music, right? Which is exactly what Mojo was. Because like early 2000s, we got away from like disco elements.
Yes.
And then the house was coming in and it was still nice and chatty and singy and stuff. And people still went to nightclubs and danced.
And also when groups and artists had like cool names like Mojo.
Yeah.
Not sounding like coffees like Ariana Grande.
Yeah. And as Sia pointed out, it was in the back of the Jamiroquai fam. Okay. Lots of news, great things and stories with Mabali Maloy and more. After this from Mojo. So that was Mojo's real big hit, right? Mojo were a French duo, yeah? In this music video, they're just being French. They're just running around the countryside. They look very, very French. But just getting back to
Mojo.
Just getting like back to that sort of genre of music. There were like, there was quite a lot, come to think of it. I know, because this was like the start of my partying years.
Ooh.
Remember this?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Stardust, Music Sounds Better With You. It was the French as well. It was like that French era of disco sort of house.
Oh, the French have been responsible for some wonderful stuff.
Yeah, because they were like cool back then. This was the coolest time the French had been for quite some time. Long intros too. Here it comes, here it comes. You remember this song?
Yes.
Strange music video of like men in clouds and aeroplanes and stuff. But then you also remember Sophie Ellis-Bextor?
It's murder on the dance floor.
Sophie Ellis-Bextor, that was her name. Yeah.
Isn't that her?
Murder on the dance floor.
Wait, now I need to listen to the song. What?
And then there was this one.
Is that the chorus?
This was arguably her biggest collaboration with Spiller, a very tall DJ guy.
Spiller?
Remember this?
Yeah.
This is out of nowhere becoming a throwback Thursday of notes, huh?
Okay, yes. No. I remember the song.
And she sounded like the Cell C person. Do you remember that the Cell C ads with that woman who kept whispering? I'm sure it was Sophie Ellis-Bextor. But yes, Mubs, you're right. She had that big hit with Murder on the Dance Floor.
I liked that song.
Alright guys, I do not know this song.
You never heard of the song?
Wait, let me give me some time. 1, 3, 2, 1.
Well, Sia, there you go. Sophie Ellis Buckstar is your homework for today.
Buckstar.
You have to get over it.
On the dance floor.
I mean, obviously she was very pale. That was her look. And she sang lots of songs and did lots of music videos. She was kind of like taking over from Kylie Minogue, right? Because Kylie Minogue was like big in the late 90s.
Yes.
Back when she was still sexy and everyone said that she was really hot and stuff. And then porcelain face Sophie Ellis Buckstar, she came into it. You think you've got your way, but baby, there's a catch. See, now we're going from French to British.
Now you have met your match. You
think you're in control. In this music video, she's actually a porcelain doll. Range. You had me taken in, but now I found you out, and I won't go through that again. Okay, it's not one of her better songs.
Lyrics were so simple. You had me take me in, and now I take you out.
You Germanic girls used to get so drunk while singing this.
Yes.
Friday nights in London. Boom. Okay, well, that's our flashback. Quite spontaneous. But yes, if you are, I guess, my age, if you're mid-30s, these songs would resonate with you because this is when you were partying hard, like a lot.
Bob Sinclair also in the mix.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, maybe that we'll get into it tomorrow.
Mm.
Because if you die into this music, we're definitely isolating you at this stage. Bob, what else is happening in the world right now?
So more details have been made available around that heist that took place at OR Tambo International Airport the other day. I don't know what it is about big scale robberies that we find so fascinating. Do you think it has something to do with, you know...
Yes, George Clooney. I totally agree with you.
Yeah, you know, Hollywood every now and again will make these robbery movies, and the robbers always are always portrayed as these cool guys.
Yes.
And, you know, we completely sidetracked from the fact that it's just a bunch of people who go in taking things that they have no right taking. But yes, these are some of the details from that heist that took place. So, a bikie pulled up in front of a restricted access gate at around 7:23 on Tuesday evening. This is according to a statement from the airport. So, there was this bikie. There was also a white Ford Focus, which was following the bikie. Both of the vehicles had sirens. Both of them had blue lights flashing. So, you know, you see vehicles like that, you immediately think, oh, okay, officials. The occupants in the vehicle were several armed men. Some of them were wearing SAPS uniforms. Again, you know, you think, officials.
Mm. Yeah.
According to the airport, they say that when they requested that these men validate their credentials, that is when these guys pulled out their firearms. And then they rounded up security staff in the security checking point and ordered them to lie on the floor. The robbers went to the airside of the airport and they took this undisclosed amount of money from a sealed container. No shots were fired and nobody was hurt. According to sources who were prepared to speak to the media but did not want to be named, they said that these sealed containers contained 24 million rand in foreign currency, which is how the reports have gotten to the, you know, the estimation that it was 24 million rand that was taken. The money was destined for the United Kingdom, but it is not yet clear who this money belonged to.
Queen Elizabeth.
Yeah, well, she owns everything, obviously. Yeah. But I mean, it does go back to our theory. There's clearly got to be an inside job because...
Clearly, because...
They kind of knew where no one knows where the money came from. It's a little bit fishy.
Yeah, they knew exactly where to find the container. They knew exactly what the container contained. How would they know that if there wasn't an insider who works at the airport who was communicating the information to them? So these two vehicles that were used were also recovered in Mamelodi, Pretoria. One of them contained the empty containers that the cash was in. But as of yet, still nobody has been arrested. But also, you know, this is not the first time that a heist... of this nature has unfolded at the airport. In fact, there've been been quite a few heists that have taken place.
And wasn't there one that was quite a lot bigger than this?
Yes, I think it was well over 100 million rand that was taken in that one.
Okay, but now if you work at a foreign exchange desk today, right, and a few men come in with large quantities of foreign notes, maybe there's alarm bells around there. Obviously, they won't be that stupid and go cash it in. Or will they be?
They look like officials.
Well, look, if you work at OR Tambo International as part of the security staff, you know, some of them are definitely feeling a little bit nervous because what the airport decided to do was they removed some of the security guards that are working there. They've told them, okay, we're going to have to like not let you work for a while this investigation takes place so that we can try and, you know, flush out this insider who is obviously a part of this operation. So quite a large group of them have been taken off their duties. And I bet you one or even more of them are, you know, kind of sitting there thinking, oh gosh, I hope they don't trace this back to me. I hope they don't trace this back to me.
Sure.
But, you know, I was laughing because when you do compare it to those suave heist movies, there's nothing suave or cool about us guys. You know, George Clooney in like Oceans, in the Ocean series, they run off to Monaco. We run off to Mamelodi. Like, it just doesn't have the same feeling, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, you know, we're not Monaco, Sia.
Yeah. All the ocean guys are like ripped and like lean. We have beer bellies.
Hey man, anybody can be a criminal. Like, you don't have to, meet the Hollywood standards to pull off a heist.
But I'd really not like condoning this, but I'd really be impressed if this is months in the making.
Well, this is the fascination that I was talking about earlier. Is I wonder why it is that we're so fascinated when these kinds of things happen. And, you know, sometimes, I mean, I remember reading once about how cocaine was smuggled through carpets. It was actually, they found a way to weave it into the carpet. And I thought to myself, that is brilliant. I mean, of course, it's a terrible thing to do, but it's still impressive as hell.
Yeah. It's a big job. And you sit there and you're planning this. And there could be many moments where you go, no, let me reconsider. But it's like, nah, it's a big ass, bomb ass job. So,
well, keeping with the plans, Sia, I've got a joke for you.
Okay.
What do you call a female pilot?
A pilot?
Yes, of course, a pilot.
Yeah, good. Yeah.
Right, so...
I was so ready for you. I was like, so on behalf of all the women out there, you better not be misogynistic, something or the other.
Way too long hesitation this year.
No, so, no hesitation. I was just like reading you, like, what is Ben saying right now?
So yesterday, of course, International Women's Awareness Day, or was it Women's Day?
International Women's Day.
Okay, sorry, got that one right? Right. The first all-female flight crew landed in Saudi Arabia. So they were flying from Brunei.
So they allow them to fly in that part of the world.
This is the funny part of the story,
they
right?
Can't drive?
Okay, so that's it. They touched down a huge aeroplane, right?
Yeah.
In Saudi Arabia. If they were to drive from the airport, they would have been arrested.
Oh my gosh. I mean, just try and argue against the ridiculousness of it all.
So good on you, Royal Brunei Airlines, because you had an all-female flight crew. Very good. But it's just... like the backwardness. I mean, yesterday we had a big story about the whole UAE and premarital sex. Yes.
And the South African couple that's now been arrested there.
Yeah. But I mean, that's just the stupidity. Like at some stage, these people could get with the times. So it's such a strange story because we got Progressive and then we've just got Saudi Arabia.
Did they make a fuss over it? Like did the airline or the country release
I don't think they were welcoming them open arms. They probably were like, oh, woman flying planes. I mean, what next?
It's so contradictory.
What next? This inferior sex. This annoying inferior sex.
Yeah, look, I don't see anything for Saudi Arabia. Obviously, they're not going to comment on it and say it's a great triumph for the day in Saudi Arabia when women flew a plane in here. But yeah, good on them though. Still, I mean, this is the start. It all starts with one story, right?
But for me, it's the justification that I don't understand. You know, so there's no reasoning or proof as to why women can't drive. Or what, like, it's just, how do they justify it in their heads? Oh, you have boobs. You rar, cannot drive.
It comes back to the inferior here. Women are inferior in that part of the world. They are not. No. They are not as good as men. They just simply are not
as
good as men.
They're simply not, yeah. You know, they have their uses, but those uses are certainly very limited. So why do I say they? We have our uses, but those uses are certainly very limited. And we just don't compare to men. We simply don't.
Yeah, not at all. On a side note, do you know how Emma Watson keeps her pubic area clean and tidy?
I mean, why do I have to know this? Why do I need to know this?
Okay, well, it's a story, guys.
I know it's a story, but I just don't understand why I need to know how she keeps her pubic area maintained.
Well, she uses fur oil.
What the hell is that?
It softens the hair, and all the celebs are doing it.
Wait, ooh.
Look, Gwyneth Paltrow also uses it, okay? This is a serious story. Fur oil, you should be using it on all your hair, not just your pubic hair. Everything. Because it softens it, means you don't get any ingrown hairs, anything like that. And the beauty secrets of Emma Watson has been revealed this week.
By herself or by other people?
Yes. And now this is where the story gets a little more interesting, right? Because, you know, she is a women's activist, feminist person.
Yes.
She's very much with the cause around this. But now other feminists are coming out against fur oil using Emma Watson.
Why?
Because she showed some cleavage last week.
But if you're a feminist, then Emma Watson can show her cleavage because a woman can do whatever the hell she wants?
Well, not according to Julia Hartley Brewer. Double barrel surname is your first giveaway there.
What's wrong with double barrel surnames?
Sia Sangweni.
I don't know, Sia Sangweni.
Let me just like submit to you. Anyway.
Anyway, this is what Julia Hartley Brewer had to say about Emma Watson showing a bit more skin than you may be used to seeing from her. Emma Watson, feminism, gender wage gap. Why, oh, why am I not being taken seriously? Feminism, oh, and here are my tits. Mm. So she is now basically saying, Emma Watson, you can't be a feminist.
And show your breasts.
And show any kind of skin like that.
You see, there's no unity, there's no cohesion.
Yeah.
When, you know, when feminists all meet at feminist HQ, there needs to be an understanding and an agreement of the do's and don'ts.
Exactly. Emma Watson responded by saying, feminism is about equality and it's about choice. Feminism is not a stick with which you beat other women with.
Oh, and now they're just arguing amongst themselves.
How about that? Hey? In 2 minutes, I've told you more about Emma Watson than you've ever known.
Yeah, well, gosh. I mean, I definitely did not need to know about the fur oil.
But I mean, how about that? Women are landing planes in Saudi Arabia and I'm educating you about feminism.
Thank you, Ben. You have changed our lives.
It's like a full circle moment times two.
I hear Piers Morgan also took great exception to Emma Watson showing her breasts because Piers Morgan, he doesn't like it when women take their clothes off.
Oh, no.
He hates it.
No, it takes all the attention away from him.
The first and foremost, I don't know if I can take the guy who has his Twitter avatar as like a picture of him and President Trump. Like, I don't take you seriously just on that. So anything he says right now.
Yeah, but Piers Morgan likes to be seen with people who are more important than him. Because then it raises.
He's a genuine fanboy. That's all he is. Yeah.
And he just wants to stir things up. Like, and his bio on Twitter is, one day you're the cock of the walk, the next a feather duster.
Well, that's any day in his life. It means that you can be the top of the top of the top of the pops here, or you can just be nothing. Because if you're a cock on the block when you're walking.
He does mean like.
It's great.
Male. Yeah,
but if you're feather duster, then basically you're dead and your feathers are being used to just wipe stuff.
Well, okay. Yeah.
I know, it loses a lot when you explain it that much, but that's essentially what's going on. Right, let's get to the messages before I play you Mojo's third song.
Ooh.
They have a third song?
Guys, they've actually got about nine or ten.
Oh, okay. One album.
No, look, I'm taking a shot in the dark here. I have no idea what the song's going to be like, but still I'm going to go with it. Just on the messages, Ankia says, really enjoying you guys today. Well done. FZ Clark from Twitter says Sophie Ellis Bexler was a shit back in the clubbing days back when we were young. Jay Naidus here says, how on earth can you not know that song of Sophie Ellis Bexler?
Firstly,
I hope you feel embarrassed. Actually, I really hope you feel
absolutely not. I got my like references of the early 2000s are far from Sophie Ellis Bexler.
Well, get with it. Clint from the Vaal says, good morning, guys. Another classic track from the turn of the century. And in line with the current theme, please play Spiller Groove Jet. Yeah, we kind of played a bit of it, hey, Clint. I don't know. We're sticking to Mojo. I was determined to find more than one song. Maybe that's what we should do. One Hit Wonders and try to play three songs.
Okay.
I know that sounds stupid because that's why they're One Hit Wonders.
Yeah.
But like, what else did Journey have? After they stopped believing.
Oh, yeah. That's all. No I idea. Know.
What else did Right Said Fred have?
Shame.
To which one did they do again?
I'm Too Sexy for My Shirt.
Oh, that's right.
I heard there was never. I heard there was like some incest, something going on there, but I think we can do research on all of these guys to find out what they're up to.
All right. Well, yeah, we'll get back to more of that. So our discussion for this third hour, so yeah, we're talking tech in our third hour. Mm-hmm. We really are branching out today from feminism to tech. And then we're going to play the interview that Gareth had with two guys around a product that I spoke about yesterday, but I've told you nothing about yet because I'd rather let the experts do it.
And we've been told it's not a sex toy.
No, not a sex toy whatsoever. But this is Mojo's third song for the morning. and it's called What I Mean. You know you've gotten soft when you have an intro like that, huh? You're out of hits. That's it, I'm out of hits. CliffCentral.com.